Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. So great to be in God's house this morning. I thank God for our Sunday school teacher. She is over it. She's out of town right now. I praise God for the opportunity to stand before you all and stand behind this sacred desk. I'm going to go in a word of prayer, and then we're going to go on into the lesson. Dear Lord, I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for how you entrusted me to stand behind your pulpit, Lord God, and teach your word. Not that I'm Miriam, Lord God, but let it be all of you. Lord God, I ask you to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your sight, Lord Jesus, for you are my Lord and you are my Savior and you are my Redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about this morning, the title would be, Who Are You Abiding In? We abide in so many different things throughout our life. In the Bible, abide means to remain, stay, or endure. It can also mean to have a firm commitment of faith, to stand fast in that confession. To confess that Jesus is the Son of God, this is an act of faith that would demonstrate a committed commitment to stand fast in one's confession. You know, when I was writing this, it got me to thinking about this word abiding. Abiding is so deep. And it got me to thinking of me and my husband, Bishop Lyons, Stephen Lyons, and our marriage. You know, we stood before God and pledged vows over 15 years ago. You know, we had the love, honor, and I got to be real. I took the obey out. You know, I was like, we're not going to do that part. And he said, why not? I said, I obey Christ. And he pulled out the scripture. Well, as he's over the church, as long as the man's over the church, and he should be honored and everything. I said, I love, honor, and continue to love you. You know? And I was just thinking about those things. I was thinking, abide. And then I said, we wanted God to abide over our marriage. We wanted God to abide over everything we did. Because we understood that we were going to come up against many, many people who did not want us to be married. In fact, we could not find anyone to marry us. My ex-pastor would not marry us. His ex-pastor would not marry us. And we got to thinking, what is such a big deal? We're trying to abide right in God. We're trying to get it right before him. We want to be on line, precept over precept. We want to stand before him without any blood on our hands. We want to stand before him in right fellowship. And we got to thinking, maybe it's because when the Bible says, when he has joined two together, let no man put asunder. People were trying to put asunder before we even got to let no man put asunder. You know, and it got me to thinking, when you abide in God, you have to let go of yourself. You have to put yourself on another mind frame. You have to get you out the way, because you and yourself cannot abide in God. Because why? He said, I'm a jealous God. So therefore, if God is a jealous God, he said, I want all of your attention. I want all of your affection. I want all of the glory to come back to me. Because why? I give you anything you ask me, but I just want you to abide in me. I want you to get in my word and abide in me. I want you to abide in my walk, in my talk, in everything that you do. He just wants us to abide in him. Abide in God. You know, and then we still understood that we had to abide in Christ every day. We understood abiding takes a committed heart and mind state. You can't be committed to Christ one day and not be committed to him the next day. You just can't do it, you know, because either you're going to be living for him or you're not going to live for him. There's no fence. There's no hanging on one side of the fence. You're just, you know, I'm a farm girl, so we had fences all the way around our property. And, you know, sometimes I would get up on the fence. You know how you have one leg on one side of the fence, you have the other leg on the other side of the fence. That was just a game he was playing. But in Christian life, that's not a game. You're either either for Christ or you're not for Christ. You're either going to abide in him and do what he asks you to do and walk the way he wants you to walk, or you're not. And that takes a committed mind state. You know, we see people come down to the altar every week or every 2 weeks when they decide to come. And the thing about it is, you're not giving yourself to pastor or any of the other pastors here at Unity Worship. You're supposed to be giving yourself unto God. You're supposed to say, Lord, I want to abide in you. I want your spirit to abide in me. I want your love to abide in me. I want to be able to, when I wake up in the morning, to say, Lord, you are good. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done, Lord God. I thank you for all that you've yet to do, Lord God. I just want you to abide in me. I want you to order my footsteps. I want you to go before me and remove any obstacles, any things that would want to take me away from you. Lord, I just want to abide in you. We need to have that prayer. We want to abide in him every morning, not abide in your husband, not abide in your friends, not abide in your kids. You need to abide in Christ, because why? He has the rule over you. He's supposed to have the rule over you. He has your future. He said he would give us, he has a plan and a future for our lives. And it's for good. It's for us to be able to walk in him and be blessed. You know, in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he talks about, he says blessings and curses before us. He said, choose life this day. That way you and your descendants can live. He told us, because God knew we were like the sheep. You know, sometimes we just want to get in our own way. We just want to, it's me, 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 me. And God's like, no, because where did that get you? That's gotten you so far away from me, because when you decided to be just me all the time, and it's what I want, I want this to work out. I want that. You have not even considered what God wants for you to have, because when you consider what God wants you to have, that means that you've considered to abide in him. You've taken yourself off of the spectrum, off of the scale. You've went over here and you've taken a seat over here on the side, and you said, okay, Lord God, I'm sitting down. I don't want to do this on my own anymore. I can't handle this. I can't make this come to pass. I'm not no genie in a bottle. I'm not able to just say, poof, there it is. No, you have to get to the Lord, and you have to say, Lord, I need to abide in you. I need you to tear down each and everything that's not like you, Lord God, out of my life. That way I can come to you. He said, come to me in boldness. You know, come to me. I'm standing here with my arms wide open. He said, trust in me. He said, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know what? You need that rest in order to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to abide in you, because I've been abiding in so many other things. I have been over here abiding in this person, abiding in that person. He said, no, abide in me, and you can have what you want to have. You can have what you want to have. All you have to do is commit to God. My life was I wasn't committed to God. You know, we all, before we came to the cross, before we came to have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all was committed to so many other things. But this lifestyle, this walk, is going to take a committed relationship with Jesus Christ in order for us to make it. I tell you what, I was, short story, and I'm going to get back into it. Last night, Stephen and I, we were one of the chaperones at our daughter's homecoming at her school. And we were blown away to see so many things to where, like, God, these children need you. Where is the guidance? Where's the parents? Where's the commitment? Where's somebody standing up and saying, hey, baby, you're gonna fall in a ditch, and you're gonna fall hard, and you're gonna need somebody to bring you up out of the miry clay, just like he brought us, just like he brought me out of the miry clay. But the thing about it is, I had a Naomi, and Naomi had a Ruth in order to be able to walk this walk. Sometimes you're gonna have to be like how David had a Jonathan, you know, how that was King Saul's son. But David and Jonathan, they were just like that. Sometimes you got to have somebody who's going to tell you the truth. You don't need a yes man. You don't need a yes woman. You need somebody who's going to stand flat-footed and firm enough in God's word to tell you, hey, you may want to try to get that together. You may not want to go that way. You may want to not go that over on that side. But I'm just like, who is sounding the alarm for these kids? Because I'm thinking, man, oh man, oh man, what is they? I was vexed last night just seeing so many different things. But I'm thinking, a committed lifestyle, an abiding lifestyle in God. You have to stand firm in your belief in God. You have to stand firm in your commitment of God. You can't just say, I'm here with God one day and then, okay, things just don't work out the way you want to do. So you know what? I'm going to take a vacation from God. We see that all the time in the church. We see that happening in our church. We want to take a vacation. Oh, it doesn't go our way. This pastor done said something. First lady done said something. Pastor Sonia done said something. You know, but God said, you're not here for them. You're supposed to be here for me. You're supposed to come from me, not them. They don't have a heaven and a hell to put you in, but I do. What side are you going to abide in? Are you going to abide in wanting to be with the so-called cliques? Or are you going to try to be with me, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, who is the one that says, come on up and I'll make you ruler or a minute? Or are you going to want me to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. That's what it's going to take. When you abide in God, it's going to take a heart transplant. It's going to take a mind transplant to say, no more. I'm not going out like that. I'm going to stay in the realm of God. I'm going to stay committed to him no matter what comes and no matter what goes. You know, and then it got me to thinking about Job in the Bible. Job was a man who abided in God. Job was a man who his integrity, stood across everything in God. It did not matter what was going to happen. Job trusted God. In the midst of all the hell that came upon him, he trusted God. That and the test was coming. You know, he lost all his money. The kids were killed. You know, but one thing that Job never did, he never lost his faith in God. He never lost his connection with God, because he knew if he lost the connection with God, then you might as well just kill him as well. But he knew who he was in God, and that takes an abiding lifestyle. That takes an integrity. That takes a commitment. That takes a love. That takes somebody who really wants him in his life. Even when Job went through all of this stuff, you know, in Job 1, 20 through 22, Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. In verse 21, it says, he said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and naked I leave. The Lord gave and the Lord have gave me what I wanted, and the Lord has taken away. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin and blame God. You know why he didn't blame God? Because he knew who he was in God. He knew no matter what was coming his way, he knew, okay, all this stuff is coming upon me. Why, God, I'm serving you, right? I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm on my face. I'm giving people what they need. I'm making sure that this person has that person, this person has that. You know, but God said, he said, but God trusted him in his faith that he had in him. And so therefore, God didn't have a problem when Satan was like, well, you, I can't touch him. You got your hands over top of him. I can't do anything. And God was like, I'm just giving you a synopsis. And God was like, I'll take my hand off of him, but you can't touch his life. So therefore, that's why Job went through so many tests. He went through so much problem, so many things. You know, and that's like us. How many times could we really stand like that? Could we really stand, you know, and still abide in God when all hell and high water is coming up against us, when it was coming in like a mighty Russian wind, you know, when the floods are coming, the rain's coming, drought's coming? Are we still able to stand up and say, Lord, you give it one time, you've given it another. Lord God, I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you what is due unto you, because why? I trust you, and I am still going to abide in you no matter what is going on. I'm still going to believe your word. I'm still going to stand fast in you, you know. And this, and then, you know, when I kept on reading into Job, you know, and his wife, that poor woman, Job 2:9 through 10, it says his wife, you know, your wife, your wife is supposed to be what? Your helpmate. You know, God put Adam asleep, and I want to think it was a coma, you know, to pull out the rib, you know what I'm saying, out of his side, because he never woke up. In today's world, you would, you know, you get a little, what is that? No. What's that stuff that Michael Jackson died from? Fentanyl, yeah. You know, they give you that when you're getting ready to put you to sleep. One time they gave me that, and I was crying because I thought, I'm not going to wake up. You know, I told Stephen, I said, don't you let them people give me this stuff. You know, so I like to think that that's what God did to Adam. Got your rib, you got your help meet, you got your person beside you. Oh, but Job had he had a woman. 2:9-10, it says, his wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. And Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. He was mad. He was upset. You're supposed to stand by me. You're supposed to walk through this walk with me. Yeah, we done lost this. Yeah, we done lost the, you know, I'm bringing in modern day. Yeah, we lost the car. We lost the house. We lost the money. But yet and still, we still have God. You know, that's easy to say that. But it's one thing, you can say it, but do you really mean it? Can you really walk in that? Because on my side, we've done that. Between me and my husband, we've went through things like that. We've went through phantom, you know, where we didn't have enough. We've went through the car went bye-bye, you know. We've went houses gone bye, you know what I'm saying? But one thing we did not do, we did not lose our faith in God. We did not lose our, for God I live and for God I die. Lord, this is crazy. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. But Lord God, you said if I trust in you and I maintain my ways in you and I believe in you and I don't look to the left and I don't look to the right, but I stay abiding in you, Lord God, that you're going to pull me out just like you've done before over and over and over and over again. That's why Paul told Timothy, go get my staff. Go back and get my stick. That way I can look back and say, God, you pulled me through that. God, you allow me to make it through this. So, Lord God, even though the winds are coming, the torrents are coming, the wind is blowing from left to right, you don't even know whether you're going to be able to make it or not, but stand still and stand firm in the word of God and his strength and his power, because he's able to bring you out. He's able to move when can't nobody else move, but you got to stand still and see his salvation pass by. Don't get so quick to jump out. Don't get so quick to leap out. Stay in God, because that's where your safety is. That's where your blessing is. That's where your victory is. That's where you're able to abide in him, because you're standing still. Too many times you want to run to the left, you want to run to the right, when all he said was stand still and see the salvation of the Lord pass you by. And what that means is that goodness, that mercy, that strength, that zeal, I'm putting it back into you. I'm giving it to you, because you got to stand still, baby. It's not always for you to leave. It's not always for you to say something. And hey, I've been guilty of that. I think I can solve something. I think I can just make this real quick and I can turn this thing around. And God said, no, for without me, you can do nothing. And if you don't have God, if you don't have the strength, if you don't have his guidance leading you and taking you through every step that you go through, you will fall. You will go by the wayside. You will learn and say, Lord, where you at? And God's just saying, I've been there all the time. You just decided to go to the left when I was still standing right here with open arms. I'm standing right here. You know, when I was thinking about this, another thing I was thinking about, every time the messenger came to Job and tell him he's lost this, he's lost that, and all the chaos and all the mental thing that was going on, he still never lost his faith. Can we say that today? No matter what you're going through, can you say, Lord, I never lost my faith. I believed in you. I've abided in you. And he took me to Psalms 91. And it's the psalm is about abiding in God. If you really read this psalm, it's about abiding in God, in God's presence, and invoking God's protection over you. And the first verse, it says, he that dwells in a secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm going to break every verse of this down because this is so awesome. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God. Where's your secret place? Everybody needs to have a secret place to where can't nobody get to you. Because when you're in that secret place, you are abiding in him. That's where you're getting the strength. That's where you're getting the downpour of knowledge of what he wants you to do and how he wants you to take care of this, how he wants you to walk, how he wants you to be able to speak to that person, because you cannot do anything unless you have his power, his strength, his guidance. He said, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means he's covering you while you're going through. He's covering you with his presence. He's covering you with his love. He's covering you with his place where he wants you to be at. Not a place where you've said, oh, I'm just gonna lay down in this. I'm not gonna get back up. This is just gonna kill me. He said, no. He said, go dwell in me. Go take a seat beside me. And then let me just let you just gleam off of me. Meaning just take those nuggets that I'm trying to give to you. And I want you to have them because they belong to you. And you're mine. And I'm gonna cover you. I'm gonna shield you. I'm gonna protect you from all the wiles of the enemy. But you first gotta come to me. And you first gotta abide in me. You first gotta say, Lord, I want you more than anything. In verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. I love this person. And he's your refuge, meaning he's got you. He's your protection. He's the one that's going to help you walk this walk. Because why? You're supposed to trust in him no matter what. And sometimes trusting in him, it's something. Because why? Because you see everything else falling down. You see all the havoc. You see all the chaos. You see everything that's going wrong. But God said, will you trust me? Even in that, will you bless me? Even in that, will you give over you? Even in that, he said, because in verse 30 it says, surely he shall deliver you from the snares of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He said, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall find refuge. His truth shall be your buckler and your shield. The truth of God, it's going to protect you. The truth of God is going to cover you. The truth of God is going to keep the enemy from being of the fire, the fiery darts. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got a shield. And God is your shield. And he says, though you slay me, yet I'm going to serve you. Though this is coming up against me, I'm still going to serve you, God. Though this is coming out, I don't know how we're going to make it through this. I don't know how we're going to make it through that. But God said, just stand still. Believe me, because I said that I'm your refuge. He said, I'm your shield. I'm your buckler. I'm the one who's going to take care of everything. I'm the one who's going to turn it around for your behalf. And in verse 5, he says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day. Meaning, sometimes at nighttime, it gets a little bit more scarier because all the lights are out. And you go stand outside and you're looking around. And you're like, God, I don't see no way out. God, I don't see how I'm going to make it. And he said, don't let the nighttime make you fear. Don't let the nighttime make you feel like you ain't never going to make it. Because you know what? Everybody has to have a nighttime. Everybody has to go through a dark time. You can take it back to Psalms 23. Say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's a dark time. But you got to go in the dark time knowing who is walking before me, who is walking with me. Even when you feel like I'm all by myself, baby, he said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said, when thy mother and thy father leave, I will take you up. I will make sure you are okay, because why? You belong to me. I am yours and you are mine. And verse 6, he says, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness. That's what we were just talking about. Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. That's what the enemy wants you to think. Okay, I'm going through this dark time. So, because he likes to put a whole lot of distraction. He wants to put a whole lot of stuff to where, like a bunch of junk in your face. And instead of you going over top of the mess, instead of you rising above it, he said, the enemy wants you to stay low. The enemy wants you to stay in a dark place. The enemy does not want you to ever get any strength to rise above it. Because why? He said, nor of the destruction that lies waste in the noonday. Noonday is going to come. Yeah, that stuff is going to pass away. And then you're going to see some sunshine over the horizon. But you got to believe that just because the destruction is here, that does not mean that that's going to be your life pattern. That does not mean that that's going to be your life at all. You know, because why? There, you have a plan. Like I said, a plan and a purpose for your life. And you got to know what that plan and purpose is, but you got to know who you are in God to be able to get the plan and the purpose for your life. For your life. And then in verse 7, it talks about 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. That right there. Oh my God. That right there has got so much meat in it. He said 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. As he's telling you, I don't care what's coming up against you. I don't care what the enemy is saying. It showed you it's a mask. It's a fog what he's showing you. Because why? God told him, he said, I don't care how many. He said 10,000 people. Whoever's trying to come up against you, it don't matter. Because why? He said because it shall not come near you. So it does not matter. Okay, things are coming up. But God said, stop right here. It's not going to come and take you out. Because why? I am your shield. I am your buckler. I am everything that you need. So therefore, let them try to come. But I've already got the shield already around you. I've kind of like a force field, you know, kind of like, and God is our force field, you know, and we're covered all the way around us. He covers us with his righteousness. He covers us with his hand, his mighty hand. He covers us. We don't have to worry about the things that's going to try to take us out. Because why? We are in Christ. That's what we have firm to stand on. As long as we're in him, we can make it. We can make it. Even though it seems like the enemy wants to confuse us and wants confusion. That's a trick of the enemy. Confusion is from the enemy. God does not confuse his people. That is not one of his works. In verse 8, he says, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Meaning, don't just be, he said, only with your eyes you shall see the reward, of the wicked. Basically, you've been standing still. You've been following me. You've been staying in me. So therefore, I'm going to allow you to see what's going to happen to your enemy. Because why? You didn't fold. You stood still. You believed me that I was going to be able to deliver you from everything that you're going through. And verse 9, it says, because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Meaning, it ain't going to come to your house. It's not going to come to you. It's not going to come around you. Because why? You have made the Lord Most High your dwelling place. Meaning you've decided to abide in him. You've decided to make him at the top of your life. You know, you got God, and then you, your spouse, and then your kids. There's an order to this stuff. You can't put somebody over top of God, because it will not work out for your good. It will not. Because he said, I'm a jealous God. Man, if he's a jealous God, he wants all of you. He don't want some of you. He wants all of you. Because why? You want all of him. You want all of his blessings. You want all of his favor. You want all of his direction. You want all of his love. And he's just saying, Just give me you. Everything else is a song. It's a beautiful song. It says, give me you. Everything else can wait. And sometimes that's what we need to realize. We need to realize everything is not so important to where we do not get to the Most High, because we got to get to the Most High in order to find that dwelling place he wants us to be in. Because when you get into the dwelling place, you get everything he wants you to have. You get everything he wants you to have. I'm going to skip on down because my time is getting ready to end. Because I want to get to the very last in verse 14. He says, Verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That right there says it all. As long as you give unto him, love him. He said, I'm going to set my love upon you. I'm going to set myself upon you, upon each and everything that you're going through. I'm going to set my holy presence upon you, and I'm going to show you my salvation. I'm going to show you how strong I am. I'm going to show you how mighty I am. I'm going to show you how much I can remove everything that's trying to trap you in. I have the keys to unlock everything that you're going through. All you got to do is come to me and let me be what I'm supposed to be in you. He said, because why? He said, you shall call upon him and he will answer you. You don't have a God that's not going to answer you in a time of trouble. You have a God who stands there, who's waiting to give you the answers that you need, and walk this walk through him, because he wants you to have his salvation, his love, his affection, everything, everything. He wants you to have everything. You have any questions? It's 11:15. I know you, I wanted to make sure I was doing right on time.